Turn your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 is the passage of scripture that we've been discussing on Wednesday night. Ephesians chapter 6 in verse 10, the Apostle Paul is admonishing us to put on the whole armor of God. Look at verse 10 in Ephesians chapter 6. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that it may be that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Now, this passage of Scripture shows us this clear fact that we are in a battle against the devil. Now, many people don't believe that the devil even exists. They don't believe that the devil is even real. They think he's just something that is made up, like some cartoon character or some fable. The New York Times reported a study about the diminishing belief in the devil among Americans. 2/3 of Americans do not believe in the devil as a living entity. In a randomly selected survey of over 1,000 Americans, pollsters asked whether they agreed that Satan is not a living being but a symbol of evil. 62% agreed with that statement. That means nearly 149 million Americans believe that Satan has no influence in this world or in their lives. Now, understand something. The Bible clearly teaches that the devil is a real entity and that he does have an influence in this world. And Isaiah chapter 14 clearly shows us this. Now, let's look at Isaiah chapter 14 a minute. Isaiah chapter 14, look at verse 12 for a moment. The Lord says, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations." I want you to notice something about this passage. Notice that Satan has a name. A name. Lucifer is his name. Now, God doesn't give names to fake people. He gave this name to this entity because he is real. He is real. He is the son of the morning. He is a real entity. Notice verse 13. It says, "For you have said in your heart." Now, if you are fake, do you have a heart? No. No, you're a real entity. And this Satan, Lucifer, is a real entity. He has a heart. He has a will and emotions, and he has desires. Notice in verse 16. Look at verse 16. It says, "Those who see you will gaze at you." Now, this is a prediction, but think about that for a minute. If Satan is not real, how could he be looked upon by others? He is real. He will someday be looked upon by others. Although he doesn't appear to us, we don't see him, he will someday be looked upon. And so there are many other traits that show us that Satan is a real entity, and he is someone that is fighting against us. And those who recognize this, recognize that Satan is real, can be better prepared for the battle that they are fighting with him. Now, I want you to understand something as we talk about God's promised plan. God has a plan for Satan. He has a plan. That plan is found in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. First John chapter 3, verse 8, it says, "He who sins is of the devil." In other words, he who sins continually with their resistance and disobedience to God, who has totally rejected God, just like the devil. The devil has sinned from the beginning. Now look what it says, next sentence. "For this purpose, the Son of God, Jesus, was manifested." So he came to this earth for this purpose, "that he might destroy the works of the devil." You see, God in his plan of salvation, when he formed this plan of salvation with Jesus, his Son, one of the purposes was that he would destroy the works of the devil. And that is part of God's future promise plan, that the devil will be destroyed. And this passage and in Isaiah chapter 14 clearly state that there is coming this time when Satan will be destroyed. And that should give the Christian a wonderful joy. You see, it started when Jesus was manifested. When Jesus Christ came to this earth and lived a sinless, perfect life. And then, because of the influence of the devil and the forces of evil, was put on the cross and died on that cross and then was buried and rose again, Jesus destroyed the plans of the devil. And started the ultimate destruction of the devil and all of his forces. It was at that time, that event, where Satan was doomed, where he was doomed. And it's because of our faith and trust in that death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that we no longer are bound for the same destiny that the devil is bound for. And because we have our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we have a wonderful future planned where we have ultimate victory over the devil. Now, understand something. This plan that Jesus has involves you helping destroy the devil. It involves you helping destroy the devil. Otherwise, why would you be a soldier in the battle? Why would you need to take on the whole armor of God? Because you are part of this army that Jesus is gathering together to destroy the forces of evil and the devil. Now, ultimately, it will end with the devil and all of his forces being thrown into the bottomless pit, being thrown in hell. But this battle rages right now. And we are part of that battle as Christians. If you are trusting in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and I implore you to, if you haven't, to trust in Him, if you are trusting in Him as your Savior, then you are part of this battle, and you are part of that victory that is going to come at the end. You know, every great battle movie ends with one real big battle at the end, right? And as I was studying this passage, these passages, I thought about that. You know, how we are in this battle, and then ultimately there's going to come this one big battle at the end, and then we'll have ultimate victory. And that makes for a great movie, doesn't it? But it also is our destiny as Christians. We are the ones who are fighting in this battle with the promise of ultimate victory. And I want us to see that. I want us to see how that ultimate victory comes to pass. But I also want us to see the devil. Because here's what happens with me. I don't know about you. But the last couple of weeks, when I realized I am in this battle afresh and anew, that it came to my mind as we studied on Wednesday night, it can get discouraging. It can get overwhelming. It can get intimidating. I'm no match for the devil. I'm no match for the devil. He could beat me up easily. However, he who is within me is greater than he who is in the world. And we need to remember that. And it's good for us to see the fate of the devil so that we, when we get anxious, when we get overwhelmed, when we feel like we are losing the battle against the forces of evil, that we remember we have the victory. Okay? We have the victory. Now let's look at Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. Look at verses 7 and 8. Verse 7 says, "The whole earth is at rest and quiet. They break forth into singing. Indeed, the cypress trees rejoice over you, and the cedars of Lebanon say, since you were cut down, no woodsman has come up against us." I want you to understand something about God's plan. God's plan is to bring peace in the absence of Satan. God's plan is to bring peace in the absence of Satan. Notice what it says here. It says that Satan is laid down, and when he is laid down, look what happens. The earth is at rest. Notice the whole earth will be at rest. There's coming a time when we'll be at rest, when we won't have this fight that we're fighting right now, when it won't be a struggle for us to do what is right. You ever have that struggle? Struggle to do what is right? You wouldn't think it'd be a struggle to do what is right, but there are many times when it is a struggle, isn't it? It's hard to do what is right. But someday it won't be. Someday it'll be easy because the wicked one will be taken out of the way. And it'll be quiet. There'll be no more arguments over right and wrong. I'm tired of the cultural war that we're in today. I don't know about you. I'm tired of hearing about it. As I was driving to church this morning, two of my kids were discussing a book series, and they said the first two series were great, and then the third series, they started getting raunchy and adding bad stuff into it. And so it ruined the series for them. And so we're constantly facing this wickedness in our society. It's going to be nice not to have to face that anymore. And that's going to happen someday. It's going to be quiet someday when the devil is taken out of the way. And it's joy that leads to singing. I don't know that we can fully understand how wonderful it's going to be when Satan and all the forces of evil are taken away. Just think about that for a minute. It blows my mind because we've never had a moment in our lives where that was the case, where we didn't feel some kind of oppression, where we didn't feel some kind of effect from the sins of this world. This is going to be so awesome. It will be so awesome that the joy flowing from our hearts will produce singing. That's going to be a great day. It's going to be wonderful. This is our ultimate victory. Why? Why? Why is this going to happen? Because no woodsman has come up against us. There'll be no one fighting against the Lord or his people ever again. Ever again. That's what we have. So, when Satan falls, we'll have real peace. Now, there's a deeper concept here. So, the more that Satan is absent from our lives, from influencing our lives, the more peace and joy we have. Okay? So, we want to do what we can in order to keep Satan at bay so that we can continue to have peace and joy in our lives right now. How do we do that? Ephesians chapter 6. We put on that armor that we've been talking about on Wednesday night. And of course, time won't allow me to go through all of those. But come on Wednesday night and we will talk intently on what we want to put on so that we can have the devil's influence thwarted in our lives. Okay? Martin Luther said this. He said, "The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him." And that's the mindset that I want us to have today. That's the mindset that I want us to have today. We don't have to be intimidated by the forces of evil. We don't have to be intimidated by the battle that we're in. We can win this battle. We are equipped to win this battle. And we will have ultimate victory in this battle because of what Jesus has done for us and will do in the end. And so let's have this mindset that Martin Luther had, because the Bible teaches us that the fall of Satan will bring ultimate peace for us. Now, let's look at verse 9. Verse 9 says, "Hell from beneath is excited about you to meet you at your coming. It stirs up the dead for you, all the chief ones of the earth. It has raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. They all shall speak and say to you, 'Have you also become as weak as we? Have you become like us?' Your pomp is brought down to Sheol, and the sound of your stringed instruments. The maggot is spread under you, and worms cover you. Now look at verse 16. It says, those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners? Now, the fall of Satan teaches us that even the most powerful in this world are weak compared to God. God is going to show how strong he is in his plan and how weak all these forces of evil really are. We need to understand that God is all powerful and that he is the one that we should trust in this battle against the forces of evil. So many times we are tempted to just succumb to the forces of evil, to succumb to this world, to put down our sword, to put down our armor, to put up the white flag of surrender. But I want you to remember that we are strong if we are in the Lord. Notice the chief ones of this earth, the powerful of the earth, shall be cast down as well as Satan. Satan was a magnificently created being. He was very beautiful. When God originally created the devil, he was perfect. This was an awesome creature that was perfect in all his ways. From the day he was created, he was a creature that was blameless or perfect in all of his ways. Ezekiel 28:15 says, thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. He was pleasing as well. He was pleasing to look upon because of his beauty. He was the most glorious of the angels, as the Bible says. He was perfect in beauty. His appearance was magnificent, and it was further enhanced by his dress. His splendid personal adornment indicated that he possessed the most elevated position of God's creatures. Ezekiel 28:13 says, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, and the diamond, and the beryl, the onyx and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. So not only was he perfect, he was pleasing. He was prudent. Lucifer was an intelligent creature. The Bible calling him full of wisdom. Wisdom in the Bible is not simply extensive academic knowledge, but an ability to aptly apply the intelligence skillfully to produce excellent art that glorifies God. But he's not using that prudence for that. But no other of God's creatures has his matched intelligence, understanding, and skill. So he is crafty. He's cunning. He's smart. He knows what he's doing. And so we need to understand that although he had all these attributes, and he was powerful as well, Ezekiel 28 says about Lucifer, thou art anointed cherubim and cover that covereth. The word anointed means one who is set apart to God for a special task. And so he had these gifts and abilities given to him. He is a powerful creature. However, he is nothing compared to God. Nothing compared to God. God is sovereign. And only God is sovereign. Only God controls everything. Only God can do that. The devil can't control everything. He can only control a little bit. And even that is only as God allows. God is omnipotent. He's all powerful. Satan is powerful, but not all powerful. 1 John 4:4 tells us that God is all powerful. Don't use the excuse that Satan made me do it, because he doesn't have that kind of power. Omniscient. God is all knowing, but Satan does not know everything. Matter of fact, the angels don't know near what God does, and what there's some things that God has revealed to us that the angels don't know. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. Satan can only be at one place at one time. You see how small Satan is compared to God? That's why it's important for us to remember what the Bible says, that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's what the Bible tells us. Although Satan and the forces of evil are great in power on this earth, compared to God, they are weak. What does that mean for us as Christians? It means that we can be brave, and we can have victory over Satan and evildoers by relying on the one who is greater than all, Jesus Christ. That's who we need to rely on. He is our victory. He is our hope. And then in verses 12 through 14, it says, "How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground? You are weakened, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, 'I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High.'" You see all those eyes in there? All those eyes. It's easy to see what happened to Satan and why he was going to fall. The fall of Satan teaches us that pride can lead to anyone's destruction. As marvelous as Satan was, as marvelous as a creature that he was, he met his destruction because of his pride. Because of his pride, because he was wanting more than what God had given him. And that's something that we can look at and learn some things from. Notice what Satan said in his heart. Uh-oh. My phone was talking to me, even though I've got it silenced. Okay. Notice what he said. Notice what it says. "I will ascend. I will ascend." So Satan wanted to ascend to a position greater than God had appointed him to. That's what pride does. Pride says, "I'm not happy with what God has done for me. I'm not happy with how he's created me. I'm not happy with the circumstances that he's put me in. I'm not happy with what he's done in this world. I'm not happy with the plan that he has for my life. And so I am going to ascend." So many fall because of pride. Because they say this in their hearts: "I'm not satisfied with what God's done for me, so I'm going to take control of my life, and I will ascend." Then it says, "I will exalt my throne." He wanted to reign instead of God. He wanted control of his life. He didn't want God to control his life. And that's what pride does. Pride says, "Well, I know God would rather me do this, but I'm going to do something different." And that's what pride does. And that pride will lead to our destruction, because only as we allow God to control our lives do we end with peace and joy. And then it says, "I will get all..."